You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Natalia Persina. She's talking to me from Amsterdam. Natalia, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I just have to correct name. Usually people are calling me Glukla, and my official name is Natalia Persina Yekimanskaya, but the artist name is Glukla.
Okay, so Glukla, tell me what it is that you're working on now, your recent project.
Now I'm working in Amsterdam in formal prison, Bijlmer Bayer. It is a very spectacular building, cinematographic, real prison, which just 1 year, a couple of years ago, became empty. We are witnessing, I'm witnessing a gentrification process and how the Dutch society is dealing with that. And I'm renting studio in one of the towers because it's six impressive towers, this prison. And in one of the towers, I'm renting studio together with other artists and entrepreneurs and business people and every kind of people. And in another tower, there is an organization which is hosting refugees. So
tell me a little bit about that. For one, you're saying it's a prison and you're renting one of the towers. How much space is that? That sounds like a lot of space.
No. Inside this tower, I'm renting the studio. It is not so huge studio. It's just a studio.
Okay.
But in the other tower, the refugee camp is situated. Refugees from Syria, from Africa, from Iran, Iraq, all countries So they're hosting refugees, and there is a lot of debates going on about is it relevant or not, is it good or not, how awful that the Dutch government put refugees to such a place, formal prison. But the refugees themselves, they prefer to be in private, in one camera, in one room, rather than leave 10 people in one room. So they are kind of appreciate this place, you know. So and my project is called Language of Fragility, and I'm continue my research to work with people outside the art community. I'm working already a long time with refugees and other people who are struggling more than we. So that is my research and the project, and I can read maybe a little bit about this. What does it mean? So it's a kind of game. I'm calling it the game, but of course it's a serious game, and it's about language. Language and images. Because when I started to work there, I was thinking about how to start the communication with refugees, what method I should use to even start to communicate with them, because they are, of course, in stress, and some people lost everything, especially from Syria. They came from war. You know, it's people who lost houses and children and relatives. So it's a tragedy behind. So it's a very delicate, very fragile situation to deal with. And when they are coming to Netherlands, they are forced to learn language, Dutch language. And that is very difficult, especially if person is not so young. It's a lot of elderly people also. And I also experienced this, right? So I immigrated myself from Russia, and I also forced to learn Dutch language. So I was thinking how to deal with that, how to do an art piece around this topic. And now I'm still working on that, but now it's more or less clear. The concept of this language of fragility, it is learning the Dutch language is a serious challenge for newcomers to Amsterdam, to Netherlands. There are many methods and ways to learn a new language other than traditional learning, which can give added value to the language learning process. One alternative method is by playing a language of fragility game. No matter what language is spoken, the number of words that have similar pronunciation in a native language and Dutch is surprising. Words sound the same but have completely different meanings. This game can be an important tool for newcomers. It allows them to acquire new knowledge, motivates them to search and find similar words between different languages, opens a window for them to see the country's culture, and finds opportunities to learn new skills. The combination of language and arts gives newcomers a way to express feelings in a new country without restriction and to produce something of beneficial artistic and cultural value. By engaging in a workshop of making utopian clothes, the language of fragility teaches performative skills that enable participants to express emotional feelings, be it frustration, fear, or angst, by targeting these emotions and in turn finding balance and self-confidence. Language of fragility is not limited to the individual level. Participants learn words that have similar pronunciation but different meanings in different languages. For example, you know, in Arabic language, cheese means different than in Dutch. In Dutch, cheese is kaas, and in Arabic, it is glass. So we are drawing this kind of labyrinth construction, you know. It is cheese, the drawing of the cheese, which is going with the title glass. So it's a funny game based on confusion. So it's a lot of jokes around it. And at the same time, it's giving people a kind of, you know, way of starting to think, you know, about this language. And it's also about the freedom, because language, of course, is a state power approach, and we have another ways how communicate with each other, and it is only one verbal way, is one of the ways to understand each other. So that is also the topic of the project.
So tell me how the project actually then works. Is it running now? Are you in the process of creating this, or are you gathering information? I mean, I'm asking how individuals actually interact with this project and where they interact mm-hmm. with it.
It is happening in the form of workshop. We are gathering together, and we are drawing together and memorizing the words. We are talking about the words. We are listening stories of each other. if people are not against filming the protest. So it's all about communication, you know, and about imaginary vision of the words, you know, how we can connect the visuality and verbal language, how we can draw the word, what is the essential, you know, essential perception of the word, and can we actually draw the word, you know, that is the question. So that's all about this.
Can we draw the word? Is that what you said? That was the question? Can we draw the word?
Yes, can we draw the image, the visual image and the sound.
And so tell me how the participants actually do that. It's a conversation that you're...
Conversation, yeah.
And you're the moderator of it. And who do you invite to these conversations? How do they get invited? And where do the conversations happen?
The conversations happened in my studio. The conversations happened during the walks. The conversations happened during collective dinners. The conversation happened also during performances. I struggle a lot to get a permission to walk freely to this camp, because the Dutch bureaucracy is a very special thing, and it was very difficult. It is a kind of wall of fears around, you know, it's a lot of rules how to communicate with refugees. You cannot touch them. You cannot, you know, you can't do anything, actually, in general. Mm. So, but now I have access to this camp, and I'm just going there, and I'm collaborating also with elderly veterans of Dutch anarchist Kreabeer Wek group. It is women who are dealing with handwork, craft things. So they allow me to be present in their workshops, and there I can meet some women who are showing interest. And also many encounters are happening by chance. I'm trying to be, you know, as open as I can, and then I just meet sympathetic people, and we're starting to talk, and that's how it's going.
And then how is it documented? What's left after these talks? I mean, you talked about drawing the word. Are you actually, or are they actually drawing the word? And if so, what is left? What is the documentation and the presentation of these conversations?
Mm-hmm. That is literally a drawing. It is literally a drawing. And also it is a performances. And performance is very much connected with protagonists. For example, I met an amazing person. His name is Town, and he have also another name, Dick. There is a Dutch name, Dick. And he worked at prison 34 years. 34 years he worked in this prison.
Wow.
So I asked him, dear Dick, can you be an actor in our movie? And he said yes. And then I asked him to play this game. So he's talking about that and doing it in this cinematographic tower where just keeping this spirit of prison, you know, obviously. So we are doing this filming in prison.
So tell me about the film. What is the film that you're making then that he will be a part of? How is that created? You're the director, and what will the film be about?
This film will be about language of fragility, and also about the time, because time is a subject which is constantly there, because refugees are waiting, they are waiting of permission to be in country, of the waiting of houses, so this time for them is painful subject, you know. So it will be about time and about different and about also, you know, that they expecting a lot about illusion. They expecting and of course they have the image of Netherlands romanticized and idealized, I would say. And this is very it is very sad also, because they really have a lot of hope, and I don't know if all these hopes will be fulfilled.
And so in this film you're making, how long will the film be, and will it be about that kind of hope and a type of documentary?
It is a mixture. It is a mixture, because usually also in Venice Biennale installation in this last previous Biennale, I exhibited installation clothes for demonstration against the false Vladimir Putin election. And this clothes was original clothes, but also partly constructed clothes. And the same with movie, with this film. So partly it is documentary, but actually protagonists, they are actors who are playing refugees, but also not particular refugee, but or newcomer is a better word, which is now we are using. You know, it is now we think that newcomer is a more concrete and correct name for people who came from
newcomer.
Yeah, newcomer. So it is not particular newcomer, it is a kind of construction. It's an imaginary protagonist, but based on this real research that I'm doing. And this research is long, and this is important issue in the project, because I was very tired to do short projects in different countries with refugees, because, you know, you're just constructing the trust, because the construction of the trust, it is a first step and basic step of the project. And then you have to leave, you know, and you don't know what is going on after, and it's very irresponsible. So I wrote the proposal for Mondrian Fund to get the grant for long, you know, for 1 year. And I get it. So that it was an important breakthrough in my work. So now it is going to the end this year. And it is not only this film. It is also will be a Carnival of the Oppressed Feelings performance. And it is a kind of exodus from the prison in the form of performative demonstration.
So and tell me that again. But that term, performative demonstration, what does that mean exactly?
Performative demonstration, it is a protest demonstration, but with the theatrical costumes and masks. And also
and this
the
will be
content,
part of the film, or only the, but this would be part of the film, or no, this is more just a performance.
Yes, exactly, yes, yes, exactly.
Okay, so go on. So it's a performative yeah. demonstration is what exactly? Are you in the middle of that?
Performative demonstration is the protest demonstration with the help of costumes and masks. And I'm doing it in my following my concept of the utopian cloth. So I'm making a
and
lot
say that
of
again.
Tears
you,
with the cloth. Huh?
The utopian what? I didn't understand that. The utopian.
Utopian clothes, dresses, clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that means there's a certain type of costumes, or is that what you mean by that? Or?
Yes, it's a type of costumes, yes. But it is utopian costumes because it is about our feelings. It is about, for example, fear of learning Dutch. The costume of fear of learning Dutch, or the costume of desire to go back to Syria.
Right. And
or
so,
it is a piece of cheese, where written that it is a glass, because in Arabic cheese is glass, or. In Arabic, for example, money, it is a mole, you know, the animal. So it is a very funny also meaning of, different meaning of the word, which is sounds the same. So geld is money in Dutch, but in Arabic it is this animal mole.
Interesting. And so you're making this film. You're. I'm sorry. Go on. You were going to say something else about that because that's. There's all these different meanings happening with the words, as well in this kind of performative.
Yes. Yes. It is this because it is leading to the new vocabulary. A vocabulary that can appear with our efforts to understand each other in this, you know, globalized world where people are alienated. We can create our own language. It is a kind of partisanish approach a little bit, but I think it's very important to keep this line that we can be people who are always, you know, struggling with be between the society, you know, between the people without status. For example, here is an organization, We Are Here in Netherlands. And this is people who get a negative response from government. They cannot stay, but they are still here. They are staying, and all our community are very much supporting them. And for me, you know, it's amazing to see because I came from Russia, and in Russia there is no existing such initiatives. And I think this is an achievement of this democratic state. But, of course, I'm not going to idealize it. It's still the government now in Netherlands is not so much embracing the refugees. Only our communities, you know, like trying.
Right.
But in general, there is a social democrats who are, Christian democrats who are, not happy to see refugees in such a quantity. So for me, it's important to keep the line of resisting this state of things, you know, because even already in 2000, I understood that together with my friends, comrades, of course, I understood that I have to follow the line. The art must be on the side of the weak. And together with my colleague Tapler, we wrote the manifesto that the place of the artist is on the side of the weak. Weakness makes a person human, and it is by overcoming weakness the heroes are born. We do not extol weakness, but rather appeal to kind-heartedness and humanity. The time has come to return compassion to art. Compassion
This is also about it. This is an activist approach, really, you're saying.
Yes.
When you use that line, yes, the art is with the weak.
Yes, the weak means oppressed, weak means refugees, weak means minorities, pensioners, handicapped, teenagers, children. I mean, weak means people who are really under the, who are fragile and who must have more care and, you know, who are not, it's not about power and money, so shortly speaking.
Right. And let me ask you this, before I ask you one more question. How is your work funded? It doesn't sound like a lot of the work is in the marketplace or can be sold easily,
mm-hmm.
especially the films and the performances. So how is it funded? Is it through residencies, grants, or are you doing other kinds of work?
Yes, now I told you that there is a supported by Mondrian Fund. And I'm working now as a small institution, you know, like my opinion is that every artist in the mid-career, you know, like, coming to this concept that you're a kind of small institution. If you're producing things, you know, if you're not only writing or whatever, but if you're producing things, you have to become this small institution. And if you're an institution, you, of course, need a grant. So I'm applying for funds here, and I can do it here, but not in Russia. That's why I immigrated also.
And so you're able to do that, which must be a big part of your work as well, to apply for grants and funding all the time. As you say, a small institution, a big part of a small institution's work is to continually fund.
That's why I'm very thankful for my past kind of activity, because I got this feeling of collective work, because I'm a part of collective What Is To Be Done, and I worked a lot within the project sector of Unclothed with other person. So it is still in me, and I'm always collaborating with people. And here I also found a very nice friendly institution, TAAK, T-A-A-K. And with them, I'm applying, so I'm not doing it alone.
That's very good. Well, it's certainly a very supportive situation, I think, in Amsterdam, because in the United States, there really isn't the equivalent of that. We have grants, but there isn't anything quite like the Mondrian Foundation, or I think even TAAK. It's Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I think it's quite special. Holland is quite special in terms of funding for the arts, isn't it? Globally, even.
Yeah, but in States, I think you have your private support or not?
Yes, that's private true. Much of it is private funding in the United States.
Yeah. No, but I also have gallery here. There is a Kinchi Gallery. It's one of the oldest galleries in Amsterdam, And of course, that is a major support as well.
There's one other question I want to ask you before we go, which is, what are you reading right now? Could be anything at all, but curious about what you're reading.
Oh, you know, usually I have a lot of books which is waiting me, and I'm reading Moscow Art Magazine, which is main editor is Victor Miziano, and this is our old and only the one intellectual magazine in Russia, very, very, very great magazine. And also I'm reading Hannah Arendt, Responsibility and Judgment, because dealing with this project now, with refugees, with newcomers, I faced a lot of dilemmas, you know, moral dilemmas, how to work with people in such situation, and what I can do, what I cannot do, how can I cross the border of their privacy, or where I can do it, you know. So I came to this millions of questions around this topic of moral judgments, and so that's why I came to this book. Yeah,
that sounds like a wonderful book. Yeah, I think that's been mentioned before too. It's a wonderful book. I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.